Once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you from the lovely, slightly cold state of Nebraska, specifically the city of Lincoln, the capital city of the heartland state of Nebraska. And I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. He indeed is Lord. You know, and I am grateful for the chance, the opportunity that we have to communicate and to share the message and the gospel with one another, because the truth is what sets people free. And, you know, in the day that we live in now, in the time that we now live in the time that you and I live in, we have to be very clear about truth, very clear about what is real, very clear about our hope and our faith that we have in Christ. Because, you know why? Because the lies abound. They're everywhere. And, you know, even in the time of Jesus, when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and, you know, Jesus was talking about, you know, hey, I testify to what's true. And Pilate's like, well, what is truth? And, you know, because Pilate didn't know what truth was. And you know, actually, we live in a time where, you know, people are so surrounded by the lies. Now, here's the advantage that you have with the truth. The truth doesn't change. You know, the truth is consistent. The truth is real. The truth is grounded in Christ, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. We know that. We understand that. So, truth is ultimately rooted and grounded in who He is. So, and He's not a man that He should lie, and, you know, and God doesn't change. So, you know, so when we understand that, you have what you need to be solid. See, we live right now in a world where things are not solid. We live in a world where things are kind of going all over the place, and people are drifting and floating, and they don't even know what they believe. They don't even know how they believe it. And if somebody can seemingly stand up confidently and tell them something, you know, that this is a particular way to go, or a particular thing to believe in, or and this is why people fall for all kinds of crazy cults, you know, personality cults, because they don't know truth. See, when you know truth, then you can gauge things by the truth. Because then the truth becomes that measure by which other things are tested. You know, and you have a responsibility to test things. You know, now there's a difference between testing and judging. You know, we're not to judge, but we are to test. You know, and actually a lot of times people that don't want to be tested will come back and tell you not to judge them, which is usually a pretty good indicator that there's something that needs to be looked at. Okay, when you test something, what you're doing is you're seeing how something lines up with the rightly divided Word of God. When you're judging something, that's you in and of yourself, in your own ideas, in your own thinking, imposing a standard on other people and expecting them to measure up to your own man-made, created standard of what should be and how it should be. And that doesn't work. You know, when you judge, you know, that... Well, if you apply that same standard to yourself, you're going to be in trouble. And so it says also, you know, scriptures, judge not lest ye be judged. But at the same time, too, in even the same chapter, it talks about, you know, you know, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that in your name? And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I don't know you. Scriptures talk about false prophets. Scriptures talk in Revelation as well about, you know, the early churches that tested people, that you know, that and that said that they were apostles and found that they were not. So, you know, and they're commended for that. Those are good things. You know, those are good things. Those are good things to know when somebody is not a true worker of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I remember one time during my college days, you know, and there was a false, quite evil person, you know, on campus that was, you know, doing some really, you know, just really just condemning a lot of people and not walking in the Spirit of God at all. And, you know, when I remember outing him as somebody that was false, and, you know, the thing that he tried to bring up to me right away was, you know, judge not. Now, he'd been running around, you know, imposing some standard on all these people that he himself's not living and trying to, you know, trying to bring people into a certain kind of bondage and make them follow his particular cult that that guy was in. But, you know, when somebody calls him out based on the truth of the Word of God, that, they don't like that. See, they don't like the truth. They don't want you to know the truth. They don't want you to understand what's real, nor to be able to make a decision for yourself based on truth. Look, for us here, our goal is to see you walking in truth. Our goal is to see you walking with a personal, real, dynamic relationship with the living God, period. You know, whether you are in communication with us or not, that's okay. You know, whether you follow us or not, that's all right. You know, we're going to do what we can do to help and to support you in that. But, you know, ultimately, for each one of us in this life, it's going to come down to our own relationship with God, our own connection with Him, our own place that we're at with Him, period. Because I can't do it for you. You know, I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. You know, we can't do it for the other person. The only person that you can ultimately walk this relationship out with God for is yourself. So knowing that, you know, you make good decision and good choice. Knowing that, I make good decision and good choice. Because I want to make sure that, you know, I am being what God made me to be. And once you know what that truth is, then you get very excited about the possibility of other people having that as well. Knowing that freedom as well. Living in that freedom as well. Walking in that freedom as well. And that's why, too, you know, the gospel is quite simply, you know, one man, one hungry man telling another hungry man where to find bread. You know, we tell others where the bread of life is because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We've received something that is without measure. You know, see, the world can't process this because, see, also, too, everything in the world is has limitation on it. You know, the world operates in what's called a zero-sum game. So if one person wins, the other person has to lose. But that's not the way with the kingdom. You know, God is unlimited. You know, the Spirit of God is unlimited. God's power is unlimited. So for us, with Him, you know, it's there is no limitation. So we can freely receive, and because freely we've been given, and freely we receive, and freely we give. So we can share because we have a lot to share. We can share because we have a lot to be grateful for, a lot to be thankful for. So, you know, in this process of life, in this process of us going through this journey, we want to make sure as much as possible that other people have the chance to hear this message, to hear that which would set them free. See, when you're free, when you're free, it's an incredible thing. You know, after you've been in bondage, and I know what it is to experience, you know, a level of bondage in my own life, as does, you know, anybody that's come through this life and been set free. But once you've had freedom, and then you know what that freedom is, it's an incredible thing. It's a beautiful thing. And then when you know that that same freedom is possible for other people, you want to share it. You want to make that known. You want other people to know that freedom and that hope that's there, that's available for them. And, you know, that passion will drive you. You know, when you know that somebody can, walk with God now. See, this is another thing too. Why wait till you are old and you got one foot in the grave to then try to make sure that you're okay with God before you die? I mean, Lord willing, people have that chance, at least, you know, because I do hope that people don't go on into a Christless eternity. But why not live out your life in connection with Him? Why not live out your existence with Him? Why not tap into your purpose for your entire time while you're in the earth, rather than living your life, you know, trying to figure out why you're here the entire time, only then just to go to the grave on cue and wonder what that was all about. I mean, that's not smart. And why would you want that when something better is available? Something better is available for all of us. Christ has made that available for all of us. That's why Jesus also said, He said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See, Jesus wants us to have an abundant life, a full life, a fulfilled life, a life of purpose, a life of destiny. That's what you have been called into. That's what God has made available for you in Christ Jesus. So, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, the abundant life that God wants for us, the abundant life that Jesus promised us, is something that comes on His terms, His way, His plan, His purpose manifest in earth as it is in heaven. But part of the way that that's manifest is by our will being set to His will, by our purpose, our choice, our decision being lined up with what His plan is. Now, He's not going to do that in your life. He's not going to override your will. You're going to get your will in your own life. I'm going to get what my decision and my choice is for my own life. See, we can choose to do whatever we want. We just can't choose the consequences. So, if you are going to receive the kingdom of God in and through your life, part of receiving that is lining up your will with His. And also part of that, realize too that as soon as you choose that, now the enemy of your soul that's come to steal and to kill and to destroy, which is part of the same verse in John chapter 10, part of that same verse where Jesus talked about wanting us, that He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, realize that the thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So the thief comes to make sure that you don't get what God intended for you. Now, God has done everything on His side for us to have an abundant life. God has done everything on His side for us to receive blessing. Like, for example, you know, God has put in His Word, honor your father and your mother, which is a commandment that goes with promise. And part of that promise is that things will go well with you. So, in that promise, in things going well with you, you know, you'll live a long life on the earth. You know, when people have dishonored their father, dishonored their mother, have you ever noticed how oftentimes things don't seem to go well for that person? Now, here's the thing. Ultimately, the highest authority in the earth realm is the Word of God. So, you know, if you've got family that is pushing you away from the Word, away from the truth, away from the reality of what God has instructed, what God has, what God intends for you, if that's what you have, you know, you have a responsibility to, you know, take stewardship over your own life and make decision and make choice in line with the Word of God. But even in that process, you can still, there's still a way to honor them. There's still a way to honor your father and mother, but still follow God. You can still be respectful. You can still find that balance. You can still find a way to fulfill God's commandment and still follow the things of God. Now, it's a blessing when you have parents that love God, but not everybody has that. It's a blessing when you have parents that serve the Lord, but not everybody has that. But for you, you know, you have to make that decision and that choice. Now, we know that the Word of God is there for our benefit. It's there for our strengthening. It's there for the life that God intends that we would live. But, you know, because He wants us to have an abundant life. You know, I mean, when I was younger, I didn't understand it as much as I do now. But now I realize that His words are indeed life. The truth of the Word of God is indeed the best way to go forward. Because in the truth of the Word of God that goes forward in your life, when you line up your life with that truth, you receive the blessing that comes with that truth. You know, the blessing of God follows obedience. You know, the blessing of God is there with obedience. So, you know, when we disobey, when we go away from that, well, the blessing is not there anymore. And in Deuteronomy 28, what we see is what God lays out before the people is blessing and curse. You know, and the reason is because when people obey the word and the truth, the blessing is there. And when people disobey the word and the truth, there's a curse that's there. And how does that work? Well, one thing is when we make a decision, when we make a choice, the byproduct of that decision and that choice is there's consequences. Now, the place where we have the ability to put things into motion is in the choice, is in the decision. So the power is in the decision. But once that decision has been made, the consequences are what they are. And so that's why, too, God admonishes people to choose life. Because when you make a decision and a choice, you're also choosing now for good consequences to come into your life. You're choosing now for good things to flow into your life. When you disobey, when you make the choice in the other direction away from God, now the byproduct of that is now you're choosing bad consequences for your life. Things that you would not necessarily want to be in your life, but because you've made a decision and a choice apart from what His instructions are, the byproduct of it is you can't control the consequence. And so when the consequence comes, which robs, steals, kills, and destroys you and your hopes and your dreams and all of the rest of that, when that happens, now the byproduct is, you know, you are where you are. You know, and once you start realizing that life is what God wants for you, and abundant life is what Jesus Christ came to this earth that we might have, the first spirit man that came and walked on this earth, born of a virgin. You know, when you realize that that's there and that's what God has for you, then you start realizing, hey, all right, let me try this. Let me obey God. Let me seek to persist. Here's another thing, too. You got to persist. Persist in righteousness. You know, make that choice and continue to make that choice in alignment with the Word of God. Now, how do you make that choice and how does it work? Well, it works because your spirit, your soul, that is your mind and your thinking, and your flesh, you start lining those up with the truth of the Word. You start lining those up with the truth of God. See, when you start lining them up with the truth of the Word of God, now you're putting yourself in a place for the positive consequences and abundant life to flow in your life. When you are going against that, you are putting yourself in a position where bad consequences will come into your life. See, this is why the world works so hard to get you to go down a sinful track. Because the devil knows that if he can get you to make decisions and make choices apart from the Word of God and down his line, what the end product will be is death in your life. So if he can just steer you to start making some bad choices, the byproduct will be death. death to your hopes, death to your dreams, death to God's plan and purpose for you. You know, and sometimes there's challenges that come along the way. I know there are. These things pop up. But when they do, you have to overcome and you have to go and press through. And when you press through, you realize there's a blessing of God that's waiting for you on the other side of it. You may not know it, you may not realize it at the time, but once you just press through a little bit further, you realize it. So, God is in control, you know, and His larger plan is going to happen, whether people like it or not. The question is the will of God going to happen in your life? Because the will of God happening in your life is something that is contingent on also your plan, your purpose, your desire, your choice. See, Jesus leaves that choice in your care. You know, just like the rich young ruler, when Jesus, you know, when he was faced with the lordship of Christ, Jesus was faced with the lordship of Christ. He was faced with having to make a decision, you know, with, all right, here's Jesus, here's Lord, here's the Lord. Am I going to trust him and follow him and do what he's requiring of me, which is, in this case, to sell what I got to give to the poor and to go and follow him? Which ultimately, if Jesus is your king, then you would do what the king asks. Because, you know, in the kingdom of God, it's specifically that. It's a king with dominion. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about a king with dominion. We're not talking about a democracy, you know. So he is a king with dominion, and so ultimately what the king says is what we do. The direction of the king is the direction that we want to go. So when Jesus gives that man an instruction, the end result of it is, if he was under the lordship of Christ, he would have obeyed the instruction of Jesus and followed him. But because because something else had lordship over his life, it says in scriptures that he went away sad. And, you know, you go away sad every time in the point and in the place where Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life. See, any place in your life where Jesus Christ is not Lord will bring you sorrow. Any place in your life that Jesus Christ is not Lord will bring you sorrow. That's how it works. Because any place in your life that is not fully given over to Him is going to be an inroads for the work of the enemy against you. And any place that's an inroads for the work of the enemy against you, you're going to see the enemy doing what he does, which is steal, kill, destroy. So in those places in your life, you will see him steal, you will see him kill, you will see him destroy. And sometimes, you know, people may be very functional in one spot and seem like they're doing really well, but then somewhere else, they're falling apart. So they may be very functional in their business, but then they're dying in their relationship life. Or they may be very healthy in their relationship life, but they're dying in their health. Now listen, even in the side note, you know, in the world of health, in this country, you know, around the world, the devil is doing everything he can on the larger scale to try to destroy people's lives and destroy their health. But God is giving wisdom even to his people for what to do to be in optimal health. And, you know, there's certain things that we all can do on a regular basis that is natural wisdom, along with the Spirit of God, along with the wisdom of God that can quicken your understanding, that you can have that. And you can have a better state of health, which in turn leads to a better state of quality of mind and thinking. So all of that is there. But ultimately, when you give yourself over to God in every area, you experience the blessing of God in every area. And when you withhold a particular area of your life, You know, I mean, we're instructed in those scriptures too that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, there should be a way that you treat the temple. And, you know, this spills over into every area of our life, including, you know, your personal life, including, you know, how you relate to, you know, other people. You know, I mean, you know, honestly, the only place that's safe for sexual experience is inside what God has put inside of His Word. So, you know, inside the covenant of marriage, that's where it's supposed to be. And outside of that is going to just bring you pain. It's just going to bring you heartache. It's just going to hurt you. So, you know, people know this, and yet, because they choose to want to justify sin and choose to want to go their own way, they choose, in turn, their own hurt, their own destruction. So, you know, and rather than at least acknowledging that that's what they're doing, they want to get rid of the light, because the light is a challenge for them. So, you know, the end result of obedience to the commands and the instructions of the living God is for you, my brothers and sisters, is peace. And you know what? For every child of the living God, we want peace. We want to walk in peace. We want to know peace. We want to know our Creator. We want to walk with Him. We want the Prince of Peace to reign and rule in our lives and in our hearts. So unto that end, my brothers and sisters, you know, we make decision and we make choice. We make decision and choice in line with the peace of God, the Word of God, the will of God, the plan and purpose of God, which is there for you. You can choose. You can make decision. You can make choice. You can choose. And God will bless the choice that you make in line with His Word. God will bless the choice that you make that results in you saying, okay, Lord, I, of my free will, choose to line up my will, my decision, my choice with your will, your decision, your choice. So you're saying, in effect, Lord God, you choose for me. You choose, you make the decision, you make the choice, and I'm going to trust you. Now listen, there's times in the choices that God would have for you that it may be difficult. It may seem difficult. It may be something where you're like, you may struggle with it, you know, because we have ideas, hopes, and dreams, and all those things that are there. But know that He is not going to take you astray. He is not going to lead you the wrong way. You know, He knows the way out and the way through for you. The requirement is for us to trust Him. You know, that rich young ruler, you know, when Jesus cut to the heart of the matter and what He did with him was, see, Jesus sees right through. He sees right to the core of who you are. And when He saw to the core of who that man was, and He knew this was his block, but ultimately, when Jesus was trying to help this guy, because, you know, I mean, what's this guy going to do for Jesus? Jesus is telling him something to help him. But when He was doing that for this guy, the byproduct of that was, you know, ultimately that guy did not believe and trust that God, that Jesus would take care of him if he did that. So he was still trusting that money. He was still trusting those possessions. He still saw the merit and the value of those, and those were not given over to God. And the end result of that was that he went away sad. Because see, one thing that happens when you encounter the light is the light now will expose. Will expose things for what they are. And when they expose things for what they are, now you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. And you have to choose, you know, which way are you going to go? When you encounter the light, you've got to make a decision and a choice. You know, will you go with that? Or
or will you not? And when it exposes, when you finally see something in the light, if you don't go that way, if you don't go the way of Christ, you will go away sad, because it's revealed something inside of you that, you know, now you know it's there. And before, you know, it wasn't there. You didn't know it was there because you were in the dark. But now you're convicted, and you live with that conviction. It's something that's you know that it's there. So you know that there's a better way, but you chose not to. And, you know, listen, the struggles that we all have, they're shared, okay? Everybody is in this life has struggles. Everybody in this life will have trouble. That's part of what it is of being in this world. But Jesus Christ said, you know, to overcome. And he said, you know, that, you know, remain in me and let my words remain in you. You'll bear much fruit, you know, and that he's overcome the world. So if we remain in him, if we hold on to him, if we obey him, if we persist, you're going to overcome. You're going to make it through. And you're going to experience that which God has for you. And listen, if you've made some mistakes, and every one of us has at some point, somewhere along the way, we all have, whatever place that you're at, what you do right now in this moment is you say, all right, Lord, whatever's come before is whatever's come before. This moment, right now, this day, I am aligning myself, spirit, soul, body, with you. Help me by your Holy Spirit to keep that alignment and stay in that place each and every day of my life. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm going to do that. And you help me, Lord, and I just want to walk with you. He'll honor that prayer. Keep praying that prayer. Keep going forward in that prayer. And watch what God does with you. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can reach us through our Facebook page. Search for Faithmix, one word. You'll find us there. Yeah, keep on keeping on, brothers and sisters. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.